Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge honor. It's kind of what you dream of as a kid, to be an opening day starter. So, just really excited and trying to get the season off to a good start. I mean, can't really put into words right now. It's quite a, like last year I was in this locker room, not even sure if I'd make the team, and now like this, it's been incredible, and I'm excited to keep it going.
Brad Keller, your opening day starter for the Kansas City Royals. I got a text yesterday. It was really kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit weird. Like, who's this guy? Like, if you follow the Royals.
Are you a Royals fan?
Did you watch any Royals baseball last year? Or did you just check out when they won the 2015 World Series? I mean, I was like, well, who else are you going to go with on opening day? Because, and I got no response on that one. Danny Duffy has got a shoulder issue, like he almost always does. He's not going to maybe even be ready for opening day. You want to go with Ian Kennedy? How about Heath Fillmyer? Jorge Lopez, who pitched well at the end last year when they got the trade in Milwaukee. And listen, the best pitcher for the Royals last year was Brad Keller. He was their best pitcher.
Yeah.
He was their best starting pitcher. He was better than Danny Duffy. And Salvador Perez said before the spring training even started, he's going to be our ace. So I don't know where. I was like, you do know he was like a rookie of the year candidate last year, right? Yeah. So I don't know what that text meant. It was like, you think Cole Hamels is coming in that door for the Royals? You think that Clayton Kershaw? Yeah, they'd be better options, but we don't have them on the team.
Yeah.
Brad Keller's clearly the best option to be the number one starter for this Royals team, which is pretty amazing when he was a Rule 5 pick.
Yeah.
And was left exposed. And the Royals picked him up, kept him on the roster last year, and he was fantastic. And like he said, they're like, I was just trying to make the roster. Now I'm the open day starter. Like, pinch me. This is crazy and cool. So we'll talk more Royals baseball as we get closer to opening day. But Brad Keller is going to be your opening starter. And if you didn't know who he is, well, you must have not watched Royals baseball last year. I can't help you. I can just tell you what I told you just a moment ago. All right, local sports information, more All-League accolades being passed out.
Yes, the Mid-Continent League All-League basketball team was released here yesterday. That is when we got that. And taking a look at the girls' first team from Plainville, Aubrey Dewey, Lily Schubert of Trigo, Taryn Kuhn of Norton, Jordan Lowry of Oakley, and Grace Eck of Ellis. And from Smith Center, honorable mention selections were Bree Freeling and Talon Rentschler. And then on the boys' team, first team picks Trey Sides of Phillipsburg, Jared Casey and Tanner Copeland of Plainville, Zachary Eck of Ellis, Brady Booker of Stockton, and a second team pick Kyle Sass of Smith Center. So those are your Smith Center representatives and the first teams for the All Mid-Continent League team. And you can find all that, the full teams, at ncksports.com. So we now have all of our area teams that are posted there. There's a story there called All League Basketball. So you can click on that and find the North Central Activities Association and Northern Plains League that we gave earlier this week. And now the Mid-Continent League is posted there as well. And again, ncksports.com is your home for all local sports, including if you want to go back and read our story on Coach Christine no longer at St. John's. And like I said, all the All League teams, much, much more there right at your fingertips at ncksports.com for the local sports in our area.
All right, and speaking of that, we thought it'd be kind of cool because there's been a lot of things that have been put on social media that are very complimentary towards Coach Christine. And so we thought it'd be kind of cool to read some of these because, you know, here's the thing. Coach Christine, I don't think, is a big social media guy.
No.
I'm just going to go out on a limb there. So maybe he's listening, and so he may be able to, you know, hear us share the things people are saying about him. And everything that is on social media that we have seen has been very positive and, in fact, very supportive of Keith Christine. If you didn't know, he was relieved of all his coaching duties the other day by St. John's. And we have the full story and the statement from the school. It's available at kdcountry94.com, ncksports.com as well. And, you know, certainly there are people that love Coach Christine, as we can tell in all these posts that we've seen. But I'm going to read a few of those. One of them is from his daughter, which, of course, you know, you would hope your daughter is supportive of you, but sometimes there are parents that don't have that great relationship. But this is from his daughter, Vanessa, who also was a player for dad.
Yes.
Sometimes that doesn't always work out so well. This is what Vanessa says. Yes, my dad's intense. He has a loud voice. Yes, he'll get in your face, but I guarantee no one better will advocate and fight for you like this man. I have so much respect for his integrity by standing up to the politics of a small private school. Being a coach in today's society is extremely difficult and often underappreciated. It literally does not matter how successful you are because there will always be critics. He always raised me with the mindset that if you are making everyone happy, then you're probably not doing your job very well. Beyond flattered by the amount of respect the local news coverage and athletes have been adding, deciding to reject the resignation offer speaks for itself on the person my dad is. He will always do what he thinks is the right thing to do. He wasn't going to give up on his athletes just because he was told to do so. Hard couple of days with this decision finally hitting the press. I am a coach and the person I am today. Because of this man, I am proud of my dad. Those are Vanessa's words, not mine. And by the way, if anybody says, well, how can you read these on air? These are all public comments on Facebook and Twitter. So this is not something that's a private conversation. This has all been shared publicly, and we have the right to read it if we'd like to. Another one coming from Vaughn says, I got chills reading all the comments about my dad. Although I focus more on music, sports runs in my blood. This man may not know the extent, but he has taught me so much about life through coaching me as a child, watching him continue coaching the youth, rubbing off on my siblings who are also athletic coaches, and most importantly, through the tough love he has coached me on the field of life. I am a better man today because of my dad. Thank you for all that you do for our family. Okay, so those are children. So it's just them, right? That's it. Nobody else. No, there's much more. How about this one? Callahan Grund, who isn't even a player for Coach Crisine, never played for Coach Crisine. Did he play for him in the eight-man game? He played for him in the eight-man game. So this kid played one game for Coach Crisine, and apparently Coach Crisine left an impact. He says, Callahan Grund from Sharon Springs, Coach K was simply put a hell of a competitor that loved going in the battle with his kids, whether the boys on the gridiron or the women on the hardwood. He always looked out for the kids and pushed them to get their very best. Nothing but respect for a tremendous man. Connor says, to the one who instilled in us hard work pays off, thanks for being a coach not only on the field but off it as well. Former assistant football coach Aaron says, disappointed to see this happen to a great guy and coach who taught me so much in my first 2 years of coaching. Jeff Slater, Burlingame head football coach. You and I have gotten to know Jeff.
Yeah.
Hate to see this in our profession. I've gotten to know Coach the past few seasons at the 8-man All-Star game. Wish him the best moving forward in a tough situation. Parker says, Coach Crisine has given me so much time and effort to every athlete he's ever coached, including myself. We are so blessed to have been a part of his teams. Everyone will miss his unique personality. Kale says, thank you, Coach Crisine, for your time invested into this program. Everyone who has been coached by you respects you. You have taught me so much, and I can't thank you enough. Mason says, one of the best coaches a high school kid would ask for. From 6 a.m. weights to Friday night football to track, you push me to give more and more. You'll be missed, Coach Crisine. Lauren, dear coach, I will be forever grateful for what you have done for me and my teams. Can't believe I won't have you by my side the next 2 years. You will be missed by all, and I wouldn't have traded the last 2 years with you for anything. Your biggest supporter. Avery, here's to the man who taught me more than just the game of basketball. You've given me countless life lessons, laughs, and memories through the years. There is truly no one else I would have wanted to have coached me than you. You'll be greatly missed. Love you, Coach Crisine. Brenna, coach, I cannot thank you enough for the countless memories we have made on and off the court. I would not be the player or person I am today without the hard work and encouragement you've instilled in me. Words cannot describe how thankful and blessed I am to always call you coach. Myron, sad, sad day. Thanks, Coach Crisine, for all you have done for the kids at St. John's and for stepping up when needed. Andrea says, we are deeply saddened at the loss of another great coach for St. John's. Thank you for all your time, dedication, attention, and effort that you gave to our kids. Brock McMillan, Rock Hills head football coach. Tremendous amount of respect for Coach Crisine. His ability to get the very best from his teams each and every year was simply amazing. Sad day. Stacy, thanks for coaching all our sons, Coach Crisine. We appreciate the time, blood, sweat, and tears you put into our football teams. The twins will miss you. Hannah, glad that I still get to call him my uncle because he's a great man and should have never been removed. My older sisters played against him, and he showed more love and compassion for his players than I've ever seen any coach have. So much dedication and passion for basketball and football, and the kids especially. Even as a player from a different school, I learned enormous amounts of things from him and couldn't be any more thankful than to call him my uncle. And Jody said, I cannot wrap my mind around this. Adam and I are in complete disbelief. Coach Crisine was his coach in high school, and more than 20 years later, he still talks about what an amazing coach and role model Coach Crisine was. I thought that's a good one to end on because that shows over generation, 20 years ago, he really hasn't changed as a coach. He is who he is. The reason I share that is because I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool that you have so many former players and peers of Coach Crisine. So we got coaches. I read a few of those. Mm-hmm. And there's many more. I just read the ones that we put together here. Many former players.
Easy for me to find, too, you to find, or whoever it was. So you
have many former players, some current players. You have parents. You have coaches. You have former players, as I mentioned, alums. We have a lot of different people represented. Women, men, young women, young men, older folks, all represented in those quotes that I just gave you. So I thought, you know, I know Coach Kersean is not one that is all over social media, as we just talked about. And maybe he's listening, maybe he isn't, but I think that would make him feel good, and he should feel good about the impact he's had on those kids' lives.
Oh, without question. No matter how it all went down, he's got to feel good about the impact of everything that he did for those people that have so many good things to say about him that they'll go publicly here after something like this happens and say their piece.
Right. Absolutely. So there you have it. Once again, if you missed the whole story that we broke at 5 o'clock on Monday, Dusty has it posted. NCKSSports.com, KatieCountry94.com. There's a statement from the school, and that'll probably be the last that we talk about that whole thing, but I thought that would be a good way to put a bow on it, is all the positivity coming out of this in regards to support for Coach Kersean. It's, I think, well-deserved. All right, the Big 12 basketball tournament's going to begin tonight. You know, this tournament, I think, is watered down a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
And here's the reason. One, Kansas isn't the favorite, so that kind of waters it down from a national perspective. Two, Dean Wade's not going to play in this Big 12 tournament, which I think is the biggest bummer of it all. And so Kansas isn't what they once were, and Kansas has no seniors. Ladarrelle Vick's not coming back to save the day. Kansas State, no Dean Wade. Kamau Stokes is having migraine issues. Right now, it's like Texas Tech or Iowa State.
That's what it's looking like, yeah.
Which means KU's going to win it all.
Yeah.
TCU and Oklahoma State play tonight. That's the 8-9 matchup. The winner of that game will play K-State coming up tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 at Sprint Center. I'm going to tell you, if K-State plays Oklahoma State, I think Wildcat fans are automatically going to say, we're going to win that. I'd say not so fast. Did you see what happened last night in college basketball?
I wasn't paying much attention to college basketball.
St. Mary's beat Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Do you know how much St. Mary's lost by earlier in the year to Gonzaga?
I don't remember the spread.
48 points!
Was that the first time they played?
I believe so.
Gonzaga, I think the second time was closer. But
Gonzaga beat St. Mary's by 48 points earlier this year.
Yeah.
St. Mary's just beat Gonzaga last night. They had the win, of course.
Like 13, didn't they? Something like that.
Because
they were in control of the little times that I had it on my TV.
So if you're sitting there going, well, we've waxed Oklahoma State twice, that means nothing.
No,
and if Dean Wade doesn't play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and Oklahoma State's been playing better ball lately. TCU Oklahoma State, winner of that, K-State tomorrow at 1:30. TCU Oklahoma State tonight at 6 on ESPNU. Also on ESPNU tonight, number 7 Oklahoma against number 10 West Virginia. Winner of that game plays number 2 Texas Tech tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. 11:30 tomorrow morning, Baylor, Iowa State. That should be a good one. And then the nightcap tomorrow night, Kansas rarely plays in this slot. Their number 3 seed will take on the 6 seed Texas, who beat them pretty good the last time they played and almost beat them in Lawrence. No guarantee Kansas gets out of the quarterfinals. 8 o'clock tomorrow night, pregame at... Actually, it's going to be 8:30. This is so dumb. The Big 12 needs to cut this stuff out. The game starts at 6.
Yeah.
The game's going to last 2 hours, and you have a half-hour required break to warm up between games. So unless the Texas Tech game tomorrow is going to start at 6 and end at 7:30, there is no way humanly possible that Kansas-Texas will tip at 8. Finally, the folks at IMG College have figured this out, and I voiced my opinion to them last year, and it's not their fault, the way the Big 12 sets this up. It's just like ESPN TV as well. It's just so silly. It's going to be 8 o'clock pregame. Tip time will be 8:30. They listed at 8. There's no way it'll be 8. It'll probably be 8:45 or 9, possibly, but it will be no sooner than 8:30. So 8 o'clock pregame tomorrow on Z96.3 Lake, KU versus Texas. Who you pick in the Big 12 tournament?
I'm going to pick Iowa State.
Iowa State. Okay. Yeah. I'll pick Texas Tech. They've been rolling lately. Let's hear from Bruce Weber. This is what he said the other day about Dean Wade and his status going forward.
You know, we're hoping for the best, but at the same time, we want him, if possible, have him healthy down the road. He tweaked his foot in the game. If you were watching, we had to pull him out at the end of the half. At halftime, he was evaluated. He seemed to be okay. He went back and played fine in the second half, but then it really, he had some discomfort after. And, you know, we just will have to kind of evaluate him, see how he goes as the week goes on. But we're just right now, we got him in the booth, and hope he'll make some progress here.
Well, Riley Gates yesterday, he was on with us with Go Paracat, and he told us, you know, this does not look good for Dean Wade, unfortunately, and that's what's sad because he missed the entire NCAA tournament last year, and here is Riley on Dean's status. Riley was with us yesterday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Heineken Electric.
And then, yeah, the big one is Dean Wade. Look, he's not going to play in the Big 12 tournament. I can't 100% say that confidently, but when you send out a press release saying that he's doubtful or he's questionable, and then yesterday when I asked Bruce Weber on the teleconference, he said he doubts he plays. Look, if it's this questionable, he's definitely not going to play, even if he was healthy enough to go, and I don't think he is healthy enough to go, and I think that's pretty unfortunate. And, you know, I've heard rumors, by no means a report by any stretch of the imagination, but I've heard a lot of rumors, a lot of chatter that he could be done. You know, it sounds like he may have gotten some pretty bad news when he flared up his foot on Saturday, and on Sunday the x-ray was maybe a little bit not exactly the news they wanted to hear. Still trying to confirm anything, don't have enough to go on or by any means say that that's for sure, but from the rumors we're hearing, and B, from just my gut, man, this just doesn't feel good. And you got to feel for Dean Wade if this is it, because to have two miraculous seasons in the postseason ended by a foot injury on two different feet, I mean, that's going to be a really tough pill to swallow for a really, really good kid and a really good basketball player. So, you know, cross your fingers and hope for him to be on the floor. But I do not expect to see Dean Wade play in Kansas City this week, and I, for one, would be very shocked if he plays again the rest of the season.
Wow, he says he'd be shocked if Dean Wade played there.
Riley overuses that word. Yeah, let me put that out for people.
He does. He does. I would not be shocked if he plays in the NCAA tournament at all.
Yeah.
I would be pretty surprised if he plays in the Big 12 tournament. That part.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I don't use shock nearly as much as Riley does.
No.
Because I've been in this. Well, first of all, older than Riley doesn't mean I'm smarter. Just means I've been around the block a few times. It takes a lot to shock me.
Yes.
You know Same. That. And I always say there's a difference between being surprised and shocked.
Oh, yeah.
And can you be surprised? Yeah. Does that mean you're shocked? No. Now, let's shift to a story that has surprised me and maybe close to shocked me. So K-State's got the issue of Dean Wade, but they have a big problem trying to figure out where they put the trophy. They got the Big 12 championship, you know, trophy just like Texas Tech did. And they got to worry about injuries. But Kansas State, one thing you can say, they don't have to worry about FBI investigations right now.
No.
And now, also, K-State doesn't have to worry about lawsuits from a former head football coach, unless Bill Snyder is really quiet and working on one.
Yeah.
Which we talked about that yesterday with Riley. What's the deal? We haven't heard from Bill Snyder since November 24th. You have a guy that's the highway's named after him.
Yeah.
Okay? The stadium's named after him. And there's not one comment or not any kind of pomp and circumstance from Kansas State for Bill Snyder or vice versa Bill Snyder to make any public comments. Tells you everything you need to know, which we knew all along.
Yeah.
He'd never wanted to quit coaching, and K-State forced him out. I think it's very simple. He was forced out.
Very simple.
I mean, it's very clear to me, and nobody's going to admit that, of course. And Gene Taylor went and got his guy. K-State fans are all upset with Klieman. Oh, how can we get a Division II coach? And then, of course, what happened? K-State went on this Twitter media frenzy, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
And they provided all access to everything, which Bill Snyder's probably just rolling his eyes and about ready to punch a wall because he never allowed any of that. Yeah. And he's like, they're just blowing up everything that I created at Kansas State. I'm guessing Bill Snyder has nothing good to say, thus he's not saying anything at all. That's my guess. But as far as we know, Bill Snyder's not suing the university. But how about this story yesterday? What'd you think about this?
I almost can't believe some of it. Like, it's... Really? Is this what was going on?
This is insane. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, David Beatty, front and center, did everything he could at University of Kansas. He fell on the sword many times. He went out. He coached after he was fired.
Yes. I think that's the biggest key to what you just said.
He coached after he was fired. He took the high road all the way through. He had nothing but good things to say about the university that fired him. And, you know, some people could have argued, listen, I made some progress. We won a few more games. But now you can pretty much take all that stuff that happened and everything felt good and just drop the dynamite.
Yeah.
This story did surprise me. The David Beatty era at the University of Kansas may have ended on the field in November of 2018, but the athletic department that fired him hasn't heard the last from its former embattled head football coach. David Beatty filed a lawsuit against his former employer, Kansas Athletics, yesterday, alleging a breach of contract and unpaid wages of $3 million owed to him. KU Athletic Director Jeff Long fired Beatty with three games remaining in the 2018 season, Beatty's fourth year in charge of the program. Per the contract extension Beatty signed in 2016, if Kansas Athletics fired him without cause, he'd be owed $3 million, which is what happened.
Yes.
According to attorneys at Dallas-based Deans and Lions, Kansas Athletic officials immediately began discussing what it would take to avoid the $3 million payout after firing David Beatty and allowing him to finish out the season. The suit filed in U.S. District Court states that the athletic department wanted to find something on Beatty, such as a dead hooker in his closet. End of quote. Interesting way of playing the words there.
Yeah.
Well, what they're trying to say is anything, everything we can find
on the guy, yeah.
So we don't have to pay the $3 million, according to the lawsuit being filed. While the university doesn't typically comment on unresolved lawsuits, athletics department spokesman Jim Marchicioni said Tuesday evening the nature of the current filing warranted a response. Here's what he said, and I quote, David Beatty was informed he would not be retained by KU on November 4, 2018, but would be able to coach the remaining games. Immediately following the end of the season, Kansas athletic staff conducted standard exit interviews of all football coaches and staff. And through that process, we learned of possible NCAA violations allegedly committed by David Beatty. KU contacted NCAA and the Big 12 Conference and began an investigation into the matter. Beatty refused to cooperate with the KU review, and ultimately the NCAA took the lead in the still ongoing investigation, end of quote. If proven true, those violations would be deemed just cause for the termination of Beatty's contract, Marchioni pointed out. The university has withheld payment of money owed to Beatty pending the outcome of the NCAA investigation. In a show of good faith, the university has placed the full amount owed in escrow. On behalf of Kansas Athletics, Marchioni added, we're disappointed in the court filing. The university is committed to seeking the truth and upholding our high standards of ethical conduct, end of quote. Listen, there are a lot of people be laughing at that.
I was good until the end of it.
yeah, exactly. According to attorneys,
probably be most places, not just at
yes,
Kansas.
Most of the Big 12 would say that. According to attorneys representing Beatty, the former KU football coach was informed on December 13th that Kansas Athletics had initiated an investigation into allegations involving a member of the football staff, and that Kansas Athletics would not make the guaranteed payments until its self-initiated investigation was completed. Per the attorneys, Beatty has cooperated with the investigation and maintains he was unaware of any violations of any NCAA rules while the head football coach at KU. Deans and Lions lawyers stated Tuesday that Kansas Athletics has moved the goalpost on Beatty since the conclusion of his tenure as KU football coach. KU Athletics can't walk back on its decision to terminate Coach Beatty without cause after confirming it publicly, privately, and in writing. Coach Beatty and his family will always cherish their time at KU, but they do not understand why Kansas Athletics has reneged on its promises. KU then amended its original statement with Marchioni later on last night, so there's more to this thing. They added another line which says, the lawsuit was full of false claims and factual misstatements, including that KU's director of athletics made salacious comments about seeking reasons to withhold payment from David Beatty. Simply, that did not happen. It's a he said, she said argument is what it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, who can prove whether he said that or not?
Who's lying? Who's not lying? Said David Beatty didn't cooperate. Beatty says through his lawyers he did. If this is all over $3 million, how much money did Kansas just waste on Charlie Weiss? And, of course, they ended with Turner Gill. They overpaid. And, I mean, just... I don't know, man. It just sounds stupid. I know $3 million is $3 million, but to Kansas, for the boosters they have, is this really worth the black eye that it may be? Just give them a $3 million and tell them to go away.
It sounds easy
for me. I don't have $3 million.
Well, I know, but I agree with you. It's like the PR hit that this is going to bring.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like...
On top of the FBI investigation and the problems with you have with Curtis Townsend and the recruitment of players, and I think KU's already struggling a little bit recruiting for next year's class because of this stuff.
Yeah.
And there might be more that's coming down within the next few years. And then you add this on top, the NCAA violations for a team that stunk.
Yeah.
And now you're having a problem with your former coach, who was a model citizen by any, everybody said that. Just the greatest guy ever. The fact he's been pushed to file a lawsuit against Kansas. Do you think David Beatty wanted to do this? I'm guessing not.
No.
Which makes me tend to believe more of his side of the story.
Yeah. It's. I'm just like, okay, so the PR hit that you're taking is bad enough just by having a bad football team.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, there's not a lot of good pub about your team. So now you're withholding a $3 million buyout because a guy cheated and still only went 6-42.
He wasn't a good cheater, was he?
I was like, that doesn't look good at your university to say this guy cheated, but he still only won 6 out of 48 games.
Maybe that's why they don't want to give him the $3 million. You know, we really started thinking about this. That's a lot of money for a guy who won 6 games.
Yeah, but they knew that. But they're the ones that drew up the contract. I know. It's like, and I know Jeff Long's not the one that drew up the contract. I realize that. It was Shane Zinger. But it's like this university drew up this contract. This is what it is. And if you fire the guy without cause, this is standard procedure. You pay him the buyout.
Yeah.
And that's what you established the buyout to be. That's what you've already come out publicly and said you fired him without cause.
Yes.
And so for me, it's just move on and get just.
I agree.
Go away, David Beatty. We're going to move on from you. You move on from us.
Yes.
See you later.
I agree with you.
I don't get it. Like, with the quotes that are in that deposition or whatever it was that says they need to find something in the closet, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, I would have worded that a better way, maybe, but like I said, maybe that wasn't said. So I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's just like. Just give them the money and move on.
I think the $3 million, just give them the money is worth it than to go through the PR hit of all this. Oh, but
now how much are you going to be paying lawyers to make sure?
How much are you going to spend on the lawyer side of things?
How much is David Beatty going to have to spend on lawyers?
Yeah, well, they don't care what David Beatty spends on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, the NFL. Wow, I'll tell you what, this is fun stuff. I'm really enjoying this NFL free agency trade stuff. I mean, this is crazy good. I really do. I love it. I mean, every 2 minutes, I was getting an alert on my phone.
I know.
There's a trade. I'm like, is this draft day?
Yeah.
This isn't the NFL draft, is it? Free agency. The NFL, this is where baseball used to be really good at this. And now baseball, basically, nothing happens in regards to free agency is dead. I mean, there are guys still without jobs that are good players. Normally, the D-Ford trade would have been a huge story nationally. But when Odell Beckham Jr. gets traded from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns to pair up with Baker Mayfield, that tends to take over the headlines. And, of course, Beckham was in the New York media market. That was a surprise. I'm not surprised Beckham was traded.
No.
John Dorsey, former Chiefs GM, is basically just shelling out the money left and right to grab everybody.
What salary cap? Ever since 2013 or whatever. What salary cap are you talking about?
I mean, they got Kareem Hunt, which didn't cost him much, and he suspended until the NFL lets him play. But if he would come back and get the play and be like he was with Kansas City, Lord, look out. Then you add in Odell Beckham Jr., as long as he's happy, which he's a malcontent at times, as we know, which I still didn't understand why the Giants gave him that huge contract. I never did get it. And all these national people are like, well, he needs his money, he deserves his money, and this is the right thing to do. Okay. And then he complained right after he got all the money because he wasn't getting the ball enough. So what do you do? So Odell Beckham Jr. is going to Cleveland. Now, Baker Mayfield doesn't give him the ball enough. There's a problem there. Everybody thinks the Browns are the best offensive football all of a sudden. I'm like, did you forget the Chiefs?
Yeah.
The Chiefs have Kelsey, they have Hill, and they have Mahomes and Sammy Watkins. That's better than what the Browns have. Tyreek Hill had a better year than Odell Beckham Jr. the last 2 years he has. Now, is Beckham Jr. a better polished wide receiver? Yeah, probably, but Hill does so many other things for the team, too. He runs the ball, returns kicks. Kelsey's better than anything the Browns have at tight end. Oh, wait a minute. The Browns are signing Demetrius Harris, former Chief who can't catch a cold. And I see the headline for the Cleveland Dispatch. Browns add another weapon for Baker Mayfield. How's it a weapon when he drops the ball? Unless they're going to teach him how to catch the ball properly. He's a good blocking tight end, good special teams player. So the Chiefs lose Demetrius Harris. He goes to the Browns for a two-year deal. So good riddance to Harris. We don't need him. And Odell Beckham is now with the Browns, and so all this talk is they have the best offensive football, and Travis Kelce put on Twitter, remember us? And we're all still in our prime, by the way.
Yes.
There's a guy called Mahomes over here in Kansas City, and we had a record-setting offense.
We're already established and built rolling in the right direction, too.
The Browns' odds of winning the Super Bowl or coming out of the AFC went from 12-1 to 7-1, just like that. They're behind the Patriots and the Chiefs. Those are the best odds to win the AFC next year. And so Odell Beckham Jr. is going to the Browns. The Browns also reportedly are going to sign Earl Thomas. Many people thought the Cowboys would get him, so they get him at safety. Who else did they pick up? It's just like the Browns are grabbing everybody. Sheldon Richardson signed him to a 3-year deal to help him on the defensive front. So the Browns are all in for a team that went 7-8-1 last year. This makes more sense if the Browns were the Chiefs last year. They were just short of making the Super Bowl doing all these moves. I'll tell you something. I like the Browns, and I really love Baker Mayfield. I love his moxie. I love the way he plays. And I do think, and we've said this before, all the moves the Browns made, that the next 10 years it's going to be Baker and Mahomes carrying the AFC.
Yeah.
And maybe you can throw Deshaun Watson there somewhere, possibly. Maybe Sam Darnold. But I think the main two guys are Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. Now the Browns have weapons, but they do also have an inexperienced head coach in Freddie Kitchens. I'm not convinced the Browns are going to be a Super Bowl contender with these moves. I think they will be a team that makes the playoffs, or should make the playoffs, based on paper. But we've seen this before. Teams load up on a whole bunch of big contracts and free agents and make a big splash in a trade, and what happens? It implodes.
Yeah, blows up.
Antonio Brown has been reportedly traded to the Raiders. And I see Chiefs fan going, well, can you imagine if we had we don't need any more receivers, all right? The Chiefs are fine now. We need to fix our defense. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, do you really? I don't, listen, if I'm the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't want Antonio Brown. I don't want Odell Beckham. And you may think I'm nuts. I don't want the headaches and the distractions.
No.
These guys are about themselves more than the team. And then they get these big deals and they're still unhappy and want to force their way out. They don't just shut up and play. Listen, they got their money. Brown's going to get even more money with the Raiders. And I guarantee you, mark it down. Just like Terrell Owens, who was, there's a spell. Well, Terrell Owens has figured out how to handle these things. Remember, Randy Moss is going to be quiet. Well, he was with the Patriots because he learned under Belichick. But there's a lot of guys that say all the right things, and then what happens? They can't shut up.
They go right back to where they were.
They go back to the way they were because that's the way they are. And I can definitely see the Raiders when Derek Carr struggles, because there's no other great weapon the Raiders have offensively right now than Antonio Brown. You double Antonio Brown, you can take him away. They just lost their tight end, Jared Cook, who's an outstanding tight end. They don't have a great running back yet, although they could get him maybe in the draft. Antonio Brown's going to get frustrated, and he's going to say something, and the Raiders are going to have to deal with that distraction. Odell Beckham Jr., if the Browns struggle at some point, he is going to be a distraction. He will complain. Now, he's reunited with a teammate, Jarvis Landry. And I believe the receivers coach worked with both Landry
at LSU.
So there's that familiarity. But that's the big news, is Odell Beckham Jr. is going to the Browns, and now Chiefs fans are all scared. And then Chiefs fans are freaking out because the Chiefs, in the move yesterday, traded their best pass rusher to the San Francisco 49ers for a second-round pick in 2020. And there are Chiefs fans just losing their minds over this. That's why you call a fan. You're fanatical.
Where have you been the last week and a half?
So let's slow down for a moment and let's think this through. All right. Dee Ford, until last year, didn't have an all-pro year. He was in a contract year last year.
Yeah.
He had been injury-prone most of his career. He's still a liability against the run. What's the Chiefs' biggest issue defensively?
Can't stop the run.
All right. So earlier this week, or last week, the Chiefs released Justin Houston. He's 30 years old, a lot of wear on the tires, and he's not worth paying $21 million to. The Chiefs saved $14.5 million. They tried to trade him. NFL was smart. Why would you pick up that contract? We'll pick him up when he's released. And the Packers may grab Justin Houston. We don't know that yet, but the Packers are interested. So Justin Houston released by the Chiefs. Made total sense. The Chiefs franchise tag Dee Ford. That totally makes sense as well. Had the Chiefs kept him, they would have had to pay him, I think it was $15.4 million on a franchise tag, and then deal with it at the end of next year. Tag Dee Ford again, or decide to give him a long-term deal, or trade him. Well, the Chiefs decided, we're not actively going to trade Dee Ford, but we're going to listen to offers. the 49ers offered. And the Chiefs said, we'll do that. Before you freak out about the Chiefs trading Dee Ford, keep this in mind. One, you just freed up another $15 million in cap space on top of the $14.5 you save with Justin Houston. So with two players, you've saved $30 million in cap space. Now you may be saying, well, we already had a bad defense and we just got rid of two of our best players. Okay, Dee Ford was not a complete player. He was great when it was third and long. Did you notice he wasn't in on some running downs last season?
Oh, yeah.
Did you also notice in the biggest game of the year, he didn't come close to touching Tom Brady? And, of course, yes, he jumped offsides, which that's...
zero sacks and zero tackles.
Zero tackles. Not a single tackle.
Didn't even tackle a running back.
The Patriots ran the ball a ton, and he didn't have one single tackle. So don't get all caught up in the stats of, oh, he had 13 sacks. A lot of those sacks came because Mahomes and the offense gave them a lead, and then they could pin their ears back. Justin Houston's numbers weren't great last year. They were all right, and that's the first time he played most of the season in the last 3 years. So Justin Houston, you kick him aside because of the financial side of things. It makes business sense. Dee Ford, trading him, listen, the Chiefs were never going to give him a long-term contract, which I'm thankful they never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's great, because how would you give a guy one great year, $87 million? And that's what the Niners are giving him. 5 years, $87.5 million.
More power to San Francisco and John Lynch to give him that money.
Good luck with that. And I think Dee Ford's a good guy, and I liked how he played this year, especially rushing the passer, but he is a liability against the run. I don't think that's going to change in San Francisco. Here's the other thing that people need to understand before they freak out. You wanted the new defensive coordinator. I did. I'm okay with the Chiefs blowing up this defense, because with Dee Ford and Justin Houston, this defense still stunk.
Yeah.
I remember when Jared Allen led the NFL in sacks with 21 or 22 on a 4-12 team.
Yeah.
What did it gain the Chiefs? And the Chiefs traded Jared Allen. Like, oh, my God, why would you trade Jared Allen? Because you don't need a guy getting 20 sacks when you're 4-12. You need to address other areas of your football team. And guess what? They got a third-round pick, I believe, out of that, and that was Jamal Charles.
Who they got out of that.
Which that turned out pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
So, listen, the Chiefs can get a guy like Jamal Charles with a second-round pick next year. That'd be fantastic. So the Chiefs save $15 million cap space. They are down a good player in Dee Ford. Certainly they have to replace him. But he doesn't fit what Steve Spagnuolo wants. Spagnuolo, if I can talk, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, the new DC, he runs a 4-3. The Chiefs have been running a 3-4. Houston and Ford didn't fit really what he wants to do. So would they have brought Dee Ford back if they couldn't trade him? Yes, and they would have tried to make it work. But if they could trade him, they were going to. Listen, the only problem I have with the trade for the Chiefs, I don't have a problem trading for it. I have no problem the Niners taking on all the freight and paying the big long-term contract. I'm okay with the Chiefs losing a guy that got 13 sacks last year. I'm okay with all that. The one problem I have with it is I really wish we could have got a second-round pick this year, not next year.
Yeah.
Because it would be what? It'd be an early second-round pick because the Niners struggled.
Yeah.
If the Niners end up being better and their defense looks pretty good on paper, now they had Dee Ford and others that they're signing, they got Richard Sherman in secondary, and then you got Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's back healthy at quarterback, the Niners could end up being a playoff team, and that Chiefs pick they get next year, instead of being pick 35 or 40 this year, could possibly be pick 55 or 60. Still a second-round pick. Now, if the Chiefs would have lost Ford, if they just lost him, okay? They didn't franchise tag him. Somebody picked him up. They would have got a third-round compensation pick, which would have been late third round. So Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, basically was able to move up in the draft about 40 to 50 spots from a late third round to a probably mid, maybe early second-round pick next year. So if you're a Chiefs fan, cheer for the Niners to stink so that you can get a high second-round pick next year in 2020. But I do understand the point from some Chiefs fans. We just let go of Justin Houston. We just traded Dee Ford, and all we got was a second-round pick next year that does not help us this year. I understand that argument, but in the long-term scope of things, what John Dorsey did, and that's why I don't think the Browns – I think the Browns are all excited, and they should be because they've been so bad for so long. But be careful, because John Dorsey's the one that gave Eric Berry the big contract. He's the one who gave Justin Houston the big contract. And how did those deals work out?
Not well.
So great, and it hamstrung the Chiefs last year, and it's hamstringing them this year to where they had to move Dee Ford, or they chose to. They did pick up Tyrann Mathieu, a safety, who $42 million over 3 years, which I still like that deal. by the Chiefs. But when you look at things, I just don't understand the complete freakout by Chiefs fans on this deal.
And one thing I would say is don't focus on the all we got for those two guys is a 2020 draft pick. Focus on the fact that you cleared up $28.5 million of cap space so you could go get Tyrann Mathieu, too.
And you can get more.
As well, exactly. And now I can get more, and now I have a little bit more money to give other people.
Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, that I might want
to extend, and that's looking like it might happen. And all these other guys that you still need to pay. I mean, you can't look at it as just a cut and dry, all I got is a 2020 pick. No, you got Tyrann Mathieu, too.
Right.
Because you cleared up space to be able to make that signing. Okay, so it's not always who you got in the trade. It's like we talk about the draft, the 1 year when Alex Smith came and they had to give up the draft picks. I'm like, well, count Alex Smith as part of your draft.
Absolutely.
Because you gave up that draft pick. He's part of your draft. Don't just look at the pick you lost. You traded that pick and got something for it.
An experienced, established veteran quarterback.
Exactly. And so, and obviously, you know, he was very, very serviceable and won a lot of games and did a lot of good things. And then you got the quarterback you have now and parted ways with Alex Smith. And so don't always just focus on the one thing. Understand and think about, as a fan, and actually understanding what the sport is like, what you've actually gained in the long run, too. And what kind of flexibility you actually have by not having D Ford around, who had, like you said, one good year and still can't stop the run, yeah, even in his good year.
Exactly.
So why are you going to pay $87.5 million for a one-dimensional player?
After you just saw two big contracts you had for better players than,
exactly,
Ford blow up in your face.
Yeah, because that's the only outlet you have outside of franchising.
Yes.
Is giving them a long contract, and they're never going to do that. So I think it's best to move on right now and see what you can get in 2020 and take that money and get somebody maybe even better that might be cheaper.
So let's recap. Demetrius Harris going to the Browns for a 2-year deal. Good riddance. Steven Nelson, the Chiefs, you could say his best corner last year. I still think Kendall Fuller was the best corner. Steven Nelson signs with the Steelers 3 years, $25.5 million. I say, so be it.
Whatever.
He's not worth that. No. Let the Steelers have him. You know what Steelers people put on Facebook? Who's that?
Yeah.
$25 million for Steven Nelson?
People outside of Kansas City don't know Steven Nelson.
That was the first year Steven Nelson last year played the whole year. And he's an undersized corner. Good luck, Steelers. You can have him. So you lose D Ford. That's probably the big one. Justin Houston, it makes sense. You don't pay him. Now you have to ask the question, and the Chiefs are signing another linebacker, Damian Wilson, who another Cowboy linebacker. Remember, they got Anthony Hitchens last year. 2-year deal worth $6.5 million, but he's a young, up-and-coming kid that could be perfect in Steve Spagnuolo's system.
I think both of these linebackers, now that they got from the Cowboys, are going to fit the system better.
I agree. I think Hitchens have a better year. And then Wilson, and I hope so, because they gave him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then Wilson, he's a good special teams player, too. So, and I think Dorian Daniel is going to be a good fit, mm-hmm, for the Chiefs' defense. And some people suspected, even when Brett Veach made the draft picks last year with Breeland Speaks, moving up to get Breeland Speaks, who didn't do a lot last year, in my opinion.
No.
And then they, of course, made the move to get Dorian O'Daniel in the draft. They're like, this doesn't seem to fit this defense. And people said, well, it's like they're planning on changing their defense. I just wish they just would have done it last year.
Yeah.
Instead, they didn't, waited 1 year too long, and that might be the year that we could have won it all, and now we'll never even sniff the Super Bowl or be close to the Super Bowl ever again. But at least the Chiefs are trying. So my question now is, as most Chiefs fans, where's the pass rush going to come from? Well, Breeland Speaks, I think, is a bust. I just do. I know it's only 1 year. He might turn to be a great player, but I didn't see a lot out of him last year to make me go, okay, that guy's going to be tough off the edge. Did you?
No.
He might be better against the run, which,
yeah,
maybe that'll work. To now passing now, I don't even know if he fits this. He didn't play a lot. He's a draft pick out of Villanova a couple years ago, 6'7", kid, 295. Chris Jones is a guy that could absolutely be gigantic and huge and give you a pass rush. He could play D-end or D-tackle in this new scheme. So there's hope there. But when I look at the Chiefs and the moves they made, listen, they're not done. I mean, they're going to get a pass rusher of some kind, I would think, in the draft, or they might find one in free agency still. The Chiefs are far from being done. I don't think they're going to go in the season with Breeland Speaks and Passanow as their defensive ends, do you?
No.
I feel pretty confident that's not how they're going to start next year. So there's more to be done. Now, there have been some Chiefs fans like, hey, Le'Veon Bell might only need $11 or $12 million. Let's get him. We don't need Le'Veon Bell.
Again, you don't need the distraction and the hassle
exactly.
of somebody like that.
And he sat out a year and didn't play. I mean, why would you go get Le'Veon Bell when you just signed Carlos Hyde to a one-year deal?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. The Chiefs, I think, are going to address running back in the draft, get a younger guy.
You know, see if you can find another diamond in the rough, yeah, like Kareem Hunt. You
There's
know,
a Damian Harris from Michigan, a good running back that could be a third or fourth round pick. That reminds me of Jamal Charles was a third round pick. Kareem Hunt was a fourth round pick. Was he third round?
I think he was late third, too.
Yeah, yeah, so third round pick. I mean, the Chiefs have done well in the draft later on. You don't need to draft Saquon Barkley, you know, top of the draft. So I think the Chiefs can address their running back situation. They like Damian Williams. They signed him to an extension. They have Carlos Hyde. I think that's a good move. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's a bigger back. Maybe get those tough short yardage situations now that Kareem Hunt's not longer with the team. You get a third young back, and then he can step in if there's injuries. I think the Chiefs have a really good plan for the running back spot. Le'Veon Bell reportedly is going to sign with the Jets for $52 million, a four-year deal. That's less than he was offered with the Steelers.
Yeah.
So I would say this Le'Veon Bell thing has backfired unless he just didn't want to play for the Steelers anymore. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Well, and then it got too late to where I can't go back to Pittsburgh here.
So Bell's going to go to the Jets. That's good for the Chiefs. He's not going to the Patriots or somebody like that. Beckham's going to the Browns. I still think that could implode a little bit. And the Chiefs have taken away three of their better defensive players. Houston released, Ford traded, and Steven Nelson, a free agent. But I think they got Tyrann Mathieu. And about Tyrann Mathieu, here's some interesting nuggets about Tyrann Mathieu. Last year, these were his snaps and what positions he lined up in. I won't give you a number of snaps, but here's where he lined up defensively. You don't think Steve Spagnuolo is excited about this and why the Chiefs made him their number one target? He's a Swiss Army knife. He lined up at free safety, left corner, left slot corner, left outside linebacker, right corner, right outside linebacker, right inside linebacker, left inside linebacker, a corner wide left. He lined up at defensive tackle three times, middle linebacker two times. They can move him anywhere they want. Remember the days when Marcus Peters could only play one side of the field? I really, really like this. Mathieu can cover. He can play safety. He can play corner. And listen, I think it's a great pickup for the Chiefs. They may be overpaid for him a little bit, but they didn't give him a six-year deal. They gave him three. So, and they get Damian Wilson. Maybe that's a good pickup at linebacker. Hitchens better in this scheme. And I will say this, for all those Chiefs fans going, well, who's going to rush the passer? Why don't you go tell me who the defensive ends for the Patriots were last year? Can't name them?
No.
Well, one of them, the Patriots let go, and the Lions signed him to a gigantic, huge deal, 5 years, $66 million or something crazy like that. The Patriots also let go of their starting left tackle in free agency. Didn't franchise tag him or anything like that. They let him go. He signed a four-year, $66 million deal, Trent Brown, with the Oakland Raiders, $36 million guaranteed. Highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. Do you know where he was before the Patriots? Because he only played for the Patriots 1 year last year. The Patriots traded a third or a fourth round pick to the 49ers to get him as depth on their offensive line. Then their first round draft pick, Isaiah Wynn from Georgia, who they have high hopes for, blew out his knee.
Mm-hmm.
So then there was the insurance that they picked up. They pick up Trent Brown. They plug him in. And the Patriots win a Super Bowl. Trent Brown's a free agent. Do the Patriots do what a lot of teams do and just throw a whole bunch of money out at him? No, they said, see you later. We've already got this young kid from Georgia who's going to be recovered from his knee injury. We're good. Do you know what they did the year before last year, the Patriots? They let their starting left tackle go, Nate Solder. He got a big deal elsewhere. Cordell Patterson, who was with the Patriots last year, he's going to go to the Bears for $5 million per year. Do you see the Patriots crying about it?
No.
Defensive end Trey Flowers, who was one of the defensive ends for the Patriots, rushing the quarterback last year. And the Patriots weren't great in the pass rush game. Still won. Still flustered the Chiefs to score, hold them scoreless in the first half of the AFC title game with no pass rush, right? They had schemes. They had stunts. They had blitzes. I know that's a foreign concept for some DCs like Bob Sutton. Trey Flowers is going to sign with Detroit. He's getting a long-term, huge money deal. And the Patriots have done nothing.
Yeah.
The Patriots instead, here's what they did. They made a trade and picked up Michael Bennett from the Eagles. That guy's still got a little bit in the tank, I'd imagine.
That's what the Patriots do.
That's what the Patriots do.
Pick up those guys that still have some little bit left in the tank, and they maximize everything they can out of it.
They cut bait with guys before they decline. And that's what the Chiefs did not do with Justin Houston. They did not do with Eric Berry. And I'm telling you right now, this sounds, you may think this is a stretch, but the difference between the Chiefs and the Patriots winning, going to the Super Bowl last year, was decided off the field.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots didn't have $20 million guaranteed money and $13 million a year wrapped up in a safety that was hurt all the time. They did not have $101 million invested in a defensive end linebacker in Justin Houston. The only guy they have a lot of money invested in is Tom Brady. And even Tom Brady taking less than most quarterbacks in the league because he's all about winning. Or he's got a plush Cayman account, or he's guaranteed ownership in the team when he retires, which I still think is probably true. Which, hey, if it's legal.
I don't think his wife's doing too bad financially either.
I think they're doing okay. I think they'll make it. Why are the Patriots, why do they win every year? Some people say, well, they cheat. Well, they're also smarter than everybody else. And I have to say right now, when I look at the Chiefs, Tyrann Mathieu, I like the move. 3 years, $42 million. Patriots aren't doing that.
No.
The Chiefs may go out and get somebody else. And, you know, the Chiefs actually trading Ford is a Patriot-like move, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reason why I really like it. The Patriots believe in scouting, development, and drafting, and then teaching these kids how to play football. And look at what they've done in the draft. The Patriots will shuffle. They'll get extra picks. They'll trade up. They'll trade down. A lot of times they trade down. They will make a move like getting Michael Bennett in a trade. They will take a flyer on Josh Gordon and not give up, what, a sixth-round pick? They didn't give up anything for Josh Gordon to see if it would work. And it didn't work, and they still won the Super Bowl. They had a guy that was a fifth- or sixth-round draft pick that was defending Tyreek Hill in the AFC title game, and all the kid could do was run really fast, and the Chiefs couldn't get the ball to Hill. That's the genius of Bill Belichick and the Patriots organization. The Patriots are still a step ahead of the Chiefs. They're a step ahead of the rest of the NFL because with all these huge deals, $66 million for Trent Brown, who's been a one-year starter in the league, that the Patriots got for a fourth-round draft pick, got a year out of him, and the Raiders now giving him $66 million. Congrats to the Raiders. See how it works out for you. Mm-hmm. Trey Flowers getting a ton of money with the Lions. Patriots don't bat an eye. Oh, what are we going to do? We're tired of Wes Welker. He's a great player, but we're not going to give him a big deal. All right, he's gone. The Patriots don't panic. The Patriots don't shuffle out money like it's growing on a Christmas on a tree. All right? They are more subdued, and they play this game, and they find guys that are just as good as these high-paid players without as many distractions. So while the Raiders go get Antonio Brown, and while the Jets get Le'Veon Bell, and while the Browns trade and take on a whole bunch of money with Odell Beckham Jr., and the Browns might get Earl Thomas, and they get Sheldon Richardson, and the Chiefs are signing on Tyrann Mathieu, the Patriots are doing what, Dusty? Well, we're working on
lot of anything extreme.
We're working on a deal to keep corner Jonathan Jones for about $3-4 million, guy that we have that we like. Working on keeping the McCourties, making sure that they don't go to free agency. Not free agency, that they retire. We want to have them back. They didn't even franchise tag their kicker, I don't think. Gostowski is a free agent who's a really good kicker. The Patriots like, well, whatever, we're not worried about it. As far as I know, the Patriots don't have a franchise tag on anybody. And you see these people leaving New England, and under the radar, hey, did you notice that the Eagles traded Michael Bennett to the Patriots? The Patriots picked up what? Chris Long for one season? That worked out okay. Or was that that was the Eagles. Yeah, they had Chris Long for a year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Then he went to the Eagles.
Yep.
And the Patriots do things, they don't do what John Dorsey just did yesterday.
No.
And I'll tell you right now, I'll bet you the Patriots still go further in the playoffs than the Browns next year as long as Tom Brady's healthy. They're doing it right, man. They do not blow money on guys that are on the decline or even in their prime. They just don't do it. And what does that allow them to have, Dusty? Salary cap flexibility.
All kinds of flexibility.
And that's why I say the Chiefs lost this game last year to the Patriots before the season began because, one, they didn't change the defensive coordinator, and, two, the Chiefs had so much money wrapped up in Eric Berry and Justin Houston that it couldn't address as many things they would have liked to on their team. Yes, they spent money on Hitchens. By the way, did you see the Patriots spend a lot of money on Anthony Hitchens or a linebacker like that?
No.
Nope. And who won the game? And who won the Super Bowl? The
Patriots.
And who won the game on the road at Arrowhead? The Patriots. They're still smarter than everybody. They continue to school the National Football League. Which leads me to our final thing. So the Chiefs are talking about, all right, we moved some money around. You talked about it earlier. That gives them more money to sign Chris Jones to an extension, Tyreek Hill to an extension. I will ask you this. Having said what we just said about the Patriots, and they don't typically do that with many players under Bill Belichick, is it wise of the Chiefs to give a fifth-round draft pick, a guy who had all kinds of issues off the field, but since being a Chief has been a model citizen, is it really smart for the Chiefs to break the Odell Beckham Jr. wide receiver record deal with the Giants this past year and give Tyreek Hill upwards of $100 million and a long-term contract extension? Is it wise of the Chiefs to do that when he's under contract for yet next year for $2 million? You can tag him. You can franchise tag him next year. It's not like, oh, my God, he's a free agent. What are we going to do? You can tag him and make him play on the tag one more year. He might be a little disgruntled, but, you know, you're the one that gave him a chance, for crying out loud. Nobody else drafted him. Are the Chiefs doing the wrong thing by – and if would they do the wrong thing? Would it be the wrong thing for the Chiefs to do to give Tyreek Hill a $100 million deal? There's some people saying he's worth every penny. And the Chiefs should do it. He's young. He's in his prime. And he can return kicks. He can run the ball. He's getting better as a wide receiver. I could come back and counter that argument and say he's a guy with tremendous speed. And if he ever loses a step, he becomes more of a regular player. He has had some nagging injuries here and there. He gets banged up. He's not a big receiver. Is he durable? Well, so far he's been durable. You give him a whole bunch of money. Do you now suddenly not let him run the ball because you're worried about your investment? Yeah. Is it wise to give Tyreek Hill a contract extension before he becomes a free agent where you could tag him? Is it a wise move by the Chiefs?
I think on the surface you say no, it's not.
I agree.
I mean, And I understand that, you know, you just talked about earlier that he can do a lot of different things for you compared to an Odell Beckham Jr. or somebody like that, or an Antonio Brown. You know, he can return kicks. He can run the football. I mean, there's so many different things he can do on the field. But at the same time, at some point, like you just said, he's going to lose a step. And the wear and tear on his body for doing all those things the last 3, 4, 5, or 6 years, by the time he gets into the portion of the contract where it's like, we're paying this guy too much for what he's given us now.
Yes.
And it's inevitable. If you give a guy an extension, it doesn't matter who it is. Tell me somebody that played at the same peak level when you gave them the extension to when the extension was over, to when that contract was through. You can't. You just saw Justin Houston get released. That's a perfect example of it for the Chiefs.
Coming off a 22-sack season, gave him 6 years, $101 million.
Gave him the extension,
which
and most he ever had since then is 7.5, and has missed a lot of the last 2.5 years. And like I say, this year he actually played the whole season. It was the first time he played a whole season since he got his extension. And so, or at least close to a whole season anyway. And it's like, if you look on the surface and understand all the things that happen when teams give extensions, or baseball teams even give long contracts to people, and if you're signing any kind of extension in any sport, tell me the guys that are still playing high prime the way they were, or even at the back end of their prime, even still playing anywhere near that once that extension and that contract is up, and it doesn't happen very often, if at all. And, I mean, I can't think off the top of my head of a guy that got that big of money on an extension that is continuing to play the way they did. So, no, I wouldn't give Tyreek Hill upwards of $100 million or over contract on an extension right now, because, like, he keeps taking hits, and that body's not big, and it's going to wear down. It just is. And so that's, for me, is why I see. I love the guy. I love everything he does from the athletic standpoint and from the production on the field that he brings to the Chiefs. But I don't know if I don't think I'm spending that much money on him.
Well, let me give you an example of the money. A lot of it goes to the quarterbacks, okay? Andrew Luck, $140 million. That one might work out. He's coming back from injury, but he missed a whole year due to injury. Calvin Johnson retired, $132 million. Of course, he didn't see all that money. How about that long-term deal the Falcons gave to Michael Vick, $130 million? That didn't work out.
That did not work.
Jay Cutler, $127 million. Did that work out?
No.
Colin Kaepernick, $126 million. After he got his money, man, he started struggling. Derek Carr, $125 million. Had a horrible year last year.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco just was traded to the Broncos. Enough said. $121 million. Larry Fitzgerald might be... I mean, there's a guy that's performed.
Yeah, he's... There's a good example.
He just doesn't have enough around him.
Yeah.
Andy... Carson Palmer, $120 million with the Bengals. He had all kinds of...
Definitely not with the Bengals because he struggled. He actually revived his career in Arizona.
He did. Donovan McNabb, $115 million. First couple years were good, and that was it.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton, $115 million. That's for a guy that's, to me, a pedestrian quarterback.
Yeah.
Von Miller, $115 million, which we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we still got to wait that one out.
And Ndamukong Suh, we knew this when the Dolphins signed him. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
$114 million. Now they've cut bait.
Two different teams.
He's a free agent.
Or no, I guess just one. He started in Detroit, I guess.
Aaron Rodgers, $110 million. He had his worst year of his career last year.
Yeah.
Or one of the worst. Tony Romo, $108 million. That didn't work out
so great.
They
didn't get what they wanted at all.
Matt Ryan, $104 million. I'd say so far.
He's probably
He had a great year last year.
Yep.
Drew Bledsoe, $103 million at the time.
No.
Fletcher Cox of the Eagles, $103 million. He's still playing. I think you got to wait on that one. Ben Roethlisberger, $102 million. He might have been worth it at the time. And then Justin Houston. This is the top 20 list here. $101 million. And we know they didn't get their money on that. Now, having said all that, not all that money was paid out. If you cut bait like the Chiefs did with Justin Houston, he didn't see $21 million, I think it was. So he didn't get all of the $101 million. But he got the big $52 million guaranteed, and that's the key, $52 million guaranteed. Dee Ford's getting $35 million guaranteed for the Niners not to play a single down. That's a lot of money for the Chiefs to give him. Now, here's the crazy thing. Nick Foles just got a four-year $50 million contract. Did you see that?
Yes.
Was it 4 years, $50 million? Or was it 3 years?
I think it might have been three, actually.
It's worth $22 million annually. 4 years. Is it 4 years? $50 million guaranteed.
No, 50 guaranteed, okay.
50 guaranteed, $88
million. So, yeah, it would be 4 year, 88.
4 year, $88 million. Okay, so there's the scary part right here for Chiefs fans. Nick Foles, who should send a nice thank you note and a lot of money to Andy Reid for resurrecting his career as a backup with the Chiefs. Nick Foles, who was the backup quarterback for the Eagles, a backup quarterback.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row, although did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He signed a contract for 4 years, $88 million, to be the quarterback of the Jaguars, and $50 million of that is guaranteed even if he blows out his knee today. If Nick Foles can get $88 million over 4 years, $22 million a year, and $50 million guaranteed, what is Patrick Mahomes going to get? Patrick Mahomes is twice the player as Nick Foles, easily.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Patrick Mahomes is going to get $44 million a year and $100 million guaranteed? I've been
probably
seeing people.
Not that
somebody
much, but.
Somebody texts me the other day and goes, oh, Mahomes, man, we got to get all this figured out, Chiefs fans, because Mahomes is going to get $25 to $30 million a year. I'm like, baloney. It's going to be more than that.
Yeah.
Are you insane? Right now, it'll be more than that. Now, the contract might end up being $25 to $30 million a year, but how much is all guaranteed up front? I think, has there ever been $100 million guaranteed money for a player in the history of the NFL?
I don't believe so.
I think Patrick Mahomes might be the first guy. If he stays healthy this next season and plays really well again, Patrick Mahomes could get at least $50 million guaranteed if Foles is getting that. He might get $100 million guaranteed, and he might sign I would guess probably at least a 5 year. It might be a 6-7 year deal. Because remember, you don't have to pay all of it at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily see Patrick Mahomes getting, this sounds crazy, 8 years, $300 million.
Yeah.
What's 300 divided by eight? 20, no, that's 30 million, 32, 33,
yeah.
35, 32, 31 million a year. Is that what that comes out to? 300 divided by eight?
37.5.
30. Dude, I think that's ballpark.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to do an 8-year, $300 million deal for Patrick Mahomes, that's $37 million a year.
Yeah.
I think that's not crazy to say. I think it could easily happen by the time they work it out next year. And that's part of the reason why they're moving money. Another reason why you should be happy Dee Ford's been moved.
Yeah.
Because if you tied up all that money, now you jeopardize being able to make it work Mahomes, or you put all the money in Mahomes, you got no money for anybody else. So you got to make it flexible. That's why the Chiefs need flexibility, and they've tried to erase some of the mistakes by John Dorsey, letting Justin Houston go, trading Dee Ford. So you have flexibility to have Tyreek Hill if you want on an extension. Chris Jones, lock him up, a young guy in his prime, which I still think is mistakes by on both these situations. I think the only guy in National Football League that you should give a huge contract to, and even then I'd say it's somewhat questionable, is if you have a franchise quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only guy that should get a ton of money guaranteed. The only guy. I don't care, but Travis Kelce, great guy, great player, 29. I'm not giving him any big guaranteed contract ever again.
No.
I'm not giving Tyreek Hill what they're talking about. I'm not even giving Chris Jones what they're talking about. I'm only doing it for one guy, and that's the guy that almost put us in the Super Bowl. Yes, we need other people. I get it. But as bad of a defense as the Chiefs had, that guy was that good last year, and he was the MVP, and he's only 23. I am backing up the Brinks armor truck, and I'm letting Patrick Mahomes count all the money he wants until his heart's content. I will give him $300 million over 8 years. I'll give him $320 million over eight years or whatever. So you want to say 6 years? Give him 6 years, $225 million, and guarantee 75? Fine. But I'm telling you, you think Nick Foles' contract is insane? 4 years, $88 million, $50 million guaranteed? Go ahead and double it, triple it for Patrick Mahomes.
Chiefs got Nick Foles for less than $2 million when he was released from the Eagles. It was one. I just looked it up. It was a $1.25 million base salary, and he had a $400,000 roster bonus, or $200,000 roster bonus, and then there was incentives if he played, but I don't think he played much to get any of the incentives.
He's getting all this money, and he's played how many games the last 2 years? Span of what? He's played part of 2 years ago. Towards the end of the year, he played like three games, yeah, and then the playoffs, so he played what, six games? And last year played no more than probably nine. He's played one season of the last two.
Yeah.
And he's getting all this money, and he hasn't even been a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Although he did win a Super Bowl.
That ring helped him. There's no question.
Yeah, that helps. Nick Foles is still the same quarterback he was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think. But, hey, good luck with that, Jaguars. You keep chasing the money. Keep spending the money to chase a quarterback because you can't draft or develop one. Sounds like the Chiefs for many years. Now it's finally nice to be on the other side of it. But guess what? There's a time very soon where the Chiefs are going to have to pay the piper for the guy.
Oh, yeah.
But the sooner they do it, probably the more they would save.
I agree.
And maybe
that,
that's what they're working on right now for all these moves. It's all about, let's make sure number 15 is taken care of. Listen, Chiefs fans, if you're all upset Dee Ford got traded, you got to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And if that means Dee Ford, that $87 million we're going to spend on Dee Ford, all that goes to Patrick Mahomes to keep him for the rest of eternity, sign me up.